The following interview with Hollis Wayne Fincher was conducted just prior to his return to prison on Tuesday, July 24th, 2007.
This is Talking to America. I'm your host, Aaron Zellman. Our guest today is Wayne Fincher. He's involved in a fascinating case concerning the Second Amendment. Wayne, welcome to Talking to America.
Glad to be here, Aaron.
Why don't we just start with some basics? Tell us who you are and sort of give us some information about the case and some contact information.
Well, my name's Hollis Wayne Fincher. I'm 61 years old. I've lived on family land here practically all my life. My wife, Lynn, and I have been married 41 years. I live about a mile from where my grandfather had a blacksmith shop and grist mill and a country store, and I'm home.
Tell us about the controversy that you're involved in.
Well, about 1994, after two or three years of study, we started the militia called the Militia of Washington County, Arkansas. And we did the best we could do to go by the book to put together a proper constitutional militia. We have our own property in a 40 by 70 building. We've been there since we started our building in 1995. We formed up July the 4th, 1994, and that's our anniversary date every year. We're still there. On November 8th, 2006, I was arrested by the BATF for having machine guns and various other arms, short barrel shotgun, short barrel rifle, had one silencer, a short barrel Uzi, and Sten gun and such, which would be appropriate arms for any militia. And I spent 7.5 months in the Sebastian County Jail in the next county, south of us here from Washington County. I'm out just about the end of the 30-day period where I will have to self-report to the Forest City Federal Prison here Tuesday at 2 o'clock. And so we have went through a court case with them. I wasn't allowed to present any evidence, basically just to sit there and watch the trial go by. They used motion limine on me, and so the judge directed the jury that if I had the guns and I knew they were full auto, which of course I did, that they must convict, and they did eventually convict me. And so now it's we're working on an appeal, but the Second Amendment is still the law in this case.
So your case is based on using the Second Amendment as a defense?
Well, actually, you can't violate just one amendment generally, the 10th Amendment, the 9th Amendment, the 8th Amendment, excessive fines and penalties. I didn't get a 6th Amendment trial by jury of my peers, a fair and impartial jury, and on and on and on. So they violated our Republican form of government. They actually even violate the patent laws of the United States because they've given a monopoly on these types of arms since 1934 to corporations. These arms are produced all the continually. They treated these arms as contraband and used the Harrison Narcotics Act for an example of how they were going to do it. So it really violates a huge portion of our Constitution to disarm the people.
Do you think that's what they want to accomplish?
I don't see how you could sum it up and come up with any other finding on it.
Why don't we talk about how relevant the militia is today?
Well, Katrina would be a good example where, and there probably was some militia down there, but a place like that where you have a regional disaster, the militia are there, and it would be proper for them to stand up and bring as much peace and order back into it as quickly as they could in their own neighborhood. That's a classic example right there. We're a nation setting here. Even President Bush has said a nuclear charge shot off into the atmosphere could knock out computers over a huge area. And we have a northern border between Canada and ourselves, a southern border, which is being overrun. We have the eastern and western seashore to protect, probably up from up the side of Canada and up around Alaska. We have Alaska setting off isolated. The Hawaiian Islands are sitting there, and if we were to get into a worldwide war again, we would probably have to defend Japan and Taiwan, Britain, and possibly Israel, the Panama Canal. We have hostile Cuba setting off our shore about 90 miles, and a lot of hostile countries in South America. Would we want to go into this unarmed and our the private citizen be stripped of their arms? I think a militia is more needful today as much as it ever was. A militia can be very functional. It's kind of like money in the bank. You have it there, and you hope you keep it there. But if you need it, it's there.
Speaking of the Arkansas Militia, do you have some contact information for them?
Well, our website is arkansasmilitia.com, and that'll get you in, and you can find about anything you need there, especially look up our document, Silver Bullet, and I believe you can contact someone there. If I need to be contacted, you'll find a way to get to me that way.
From what I understand, the government says you did not follow the law, and so they say you're guilty of not following the law. But can you elaborate on the effort you made to follow the law?
Well, we held open public meetings from March 17th to July the 4th, and we would have a lot of times upward around 100 people week after week after week. Some meetings weren't that large. We held them out in public meeting places. And the public of Northwest Arkansas ordained, using our Arkansas Constitution as its authority, the militia of Washington County. So we notified, later on, we notified the governor, we've notified the county sheriff, we've notified the BATF, the Treasury Department, the congressmen, senators, state police of the state of Arkansas, attorney general. We've sent notices to all of them. We were here, and we were operating under Article 11 and other articles of the state and United States Constitution. And to this day, they've never rebutted it.
Okay, then, if they've never rebutted it, why is this controversy going on?
There's no controversy with me. It must be with someone else that can't...
It's with the government.
Yeah, can't read the laws or doesn't intend to obey the laws, one or the other. There is no controversy. The law speaks for itself.
What is the present militia movement in Arkansas like? Is it still active, still functioning?
There's a lot of it around. It's most of it's not as formal as we were, but everyone senses the need to be armed, and it's kind of an unspoken militia. It's there, but it's not visible so much.
Okay. It's been a long time since the Supreme Court has addressed the arguments in the Miller case. Maybe they've never have, as a matter of fact. Can you elaborate on your understanding of the Miller case and how it applies to the militia today and to your case?
Well, if we back up just a little bit, that's when the 1939, this was decided. There were two men from Claremore, Oklahoma, come over to Siloam Springs, Arkansas. That's the county just north of us. And ultimately, they were found possession of marijuana and a short barrel shotgun, and they were taken to Fort Smith and arraigned. And I believe they pled guilty. If I understand right, the judge requested or suggested that they withdraw their guilty plea, and so they did. And they had an attorney. They put on a light-duty case, and the federal judge declared the 34 Gun Control Act, at least as far as it went to the shotgun, violated the Second Amendment and dismissed the case against them. The United States appealed it to the Supreme Court, and within the 15-day, I believe it was, time limit. As it came time to appear, Miller was found dead in Oklahoma. Layton had went on his way because he was turned loose, and no one appeared in front of the court on the behalf of the people. And so it was left wide open. But the court made a decision that they cited the old colonial records, improved commentators, et cetera, and they cited that able-bodied men would appear at muster bearing arms supplied by themselves of a kind in common use. And they further made a statement about the shotgun. It wasn't within judicial notice of them that it was any part of military equipment or that its use could contribute to the common defense. They used cryptic language there, and they put a positive statement in a negative context, but it still reads exactly the same. If you're an able-bodied male and you possess arms of the kind in common use of the military, the arms are protected by the Second Amendment, and that goes right on down to any standard military equipment. There's just nothing prohibited. As a matter of fact, the Founding Fathers knew very well what arms were. They were, I believe they were rockets fired off the British ships there at Yorktown, trying to save Cornwallis's army from Washington. And if you remember, I believe the first submarine was the Turtle, I believe it was. They were working on machine guns back in the 1600s, 1700s, hand grenades, rockets, cannons, artillery, mortars, etc. So these gentlemen knew what arms were, and they knew how to write an amendment to protect it. But the court was asked to settle a controversy there, and the court settled it. Most people just don't have what it takes to read it and say, yes, this is this. There's no more controversy. Arms of the kind in common use or arms that could contribute to the common defense are protected by the Second Amendment. And to dismiss this case that it's a collective right and not an individual right, when the court allowed Layton and Miller to stand before it and contest it, it settled that argument also. So it is an individual right to keep and bear arms. If people will study the Miller case, you'll find it. The court gave all we need to show that anyone in state or federal government trying to do contrary is an infringer.
Now, you talk about the court saying it's an individual right. As you know, there's another case coming before the court, assuming they're going to hear it, the Parker case. And that's a decision of Washington, D.C., where the lower court said that the ownership of firearms is indeed a right and not a privilege. Have you been able to follow the Parker case at all?
No, I've read a summary on it, and it sounds like the court got it right. I mean, it is an individual right. You have to have armed people before you can extract the militia out of it. And so everyone that's has good standing in this country, the citizens of this country, the people unquestionably have the right to keep and bear arms, whether they do it one at a time or they band together and build artillery or whatever they need. The right to exist and to preserve life is a higher right than anything the government has, and it's a mandatory upon a society to protect itself. That's what we instituted government for, but they've let down on quite a bit.
What would you say to people who would question if artillery would be considered arms?
Well,
people like that out there. You know, just...
Well, the Arkansas Constitution says volunteer companies of infantry, cavalry, or artillery may be formed. With I'm paraphrasing, but with such regulations as the legislator may pass, and that means good legislation. But artillery is so mundane in warfare that it's unquestionable. If you're going out with the intent to come back alive and protect your family, your home, your community, your state, or your country, it would be dereliction of duty to not consider artillery to whatever degree it might be. You know, we have thousands of miles of shoreland and inland rivers that a enemy could navigate, and to not have at least some artillery would be not very wise.
You know, before the 1968 Gun Control Act, before this concept of sporting purpose came into being, if you recall, you could buy cannons.
I believe it was a 20-millimeter.
Okay, 20-millimeter. But you could buy them through the mail.
Sure.
For about $350 plus shipping. And you could buy anti-tank rifles, which I think were also 20-millimeter. So the sporting purpose concept after 1968... in effect, has made it possible for the government to start disarming Americans so they cannot defend their country. Would you agree with me on that?
Well, sure. You know, anything that we, the people, decide, the only limitation of the right to keep and bear arms is just our willingness to do it and finance it. That's all. Whatever we perceive that we need to defend ourselves, it's within the scope of the right to keep and bear arms to do just that, keep them and bear them. One of the key words in the Second Amendment is the word bear, support, uphold, carry, but it also means produce or bring forth. To produce or bring forth your own arms is one of the parts of this, powerful parts that most people don't even read into it or don't even understand. We have every right to go out here, a group of men, and put together any artillery piece. We should be buying, released to us, used Army equipment, still with a lot of life to it, the artillery, and we should be at the military ranges practicing with it, where we would know and be able to train the youth on up the real necessity of being armed to prolong freedom, because this is a dangerous world. There's a lot of countries out there that don't particularly care for us. They like what they get from us, but they'll turn on us anytime they get a chance. And an armed nation is a very strong deterrent to that.
This is Talking to America. Our guest today is Hollis Wayne Fincher. My name is Aaron Zellman. I'm your host. And we're talking today about the lawsuit that Wayne is involved in, where apparently the government's decided the Second Amendment doesn't mean what it says. Is that a fair way to sum it up?
I believe that's the way they've got it. They're trying. They know what it says. It's the Second Amendment speaks for itself. It was written by some of the finest English scholars that ever walked the earth or ever will. It contains enough information to perform its function. It's the law of the land. It can be understood, and they know exactly what it says.
Well, what would you like gun owners to learn from the situation you're in? And what would you suggest gun owners do to bring back the Second Amendment to its full glory?
Well, until they first learn themselves and understand our Second Amendment to where they can't be pushed around, they can't be deceived of the meaning of it, you're just going to be a leaf blown in the wind. So you fully understand the meaning of the Second Amendment, the scope of it, and the power of it, and it's not negotiable. It's the law of the land. All of the people in state and federal government swear to uphold the Constitution for the United States. And for them to pretend that they can't understand that, or the oath of office allows them to infringe it, is just absolutely deceptive and criminal.
Well, what would you suggest gun owners start doing, though, so that they don't become a victim as you have?
The whole purpose of the Second Amendment was for an armed population to have enough arms to effectively put together a militia. And that's, if you don't do that, you might as well forget liberty. The militia is as American as anything else. It's as much a part of our Constitution as any other part of it. And the people need to form up the volunteer militias. They need to go to call your state capitol and get a copy of your Constitution, or get several of them and read them. Read the United States Constitution. But if not you, who? If not now, when? When will we be stronger? As Patrick Henry would have said, this militia is you. It's me. And I've been here. I'm standing up. I don't like the thought of going to prison, but there was a lot of good men died, good women. Children never saw their daddy again. People were put on the prison ships off in Boston Harbor that never got to walk back on dry land again. People died on the battlefields. They died on the high seas for this liberty that I have. And I'm no better than they were. I believe in my country. I believe in my God. And I will stand up for them. If anyone wants to stand with me, okay. If you don't, I'll stand alone if I have to. But I've went to this to protect the Second Amendment, to use it. It really doesn't need protecting. It needs using. It needs understanding. And there's a great transfer of power when you know your rights. If you don't have to ask some politician what his opinion of it is, know it in your heart of hearts and link up with people who also know it. It would make a change in this country.
What kind of feedback have you had from other gun owners who have known about your situation?
Well, the local feedback is just absolutely wonderful here. I am very much supported all over this end of Arkansas. I've had a lot of support all over the United States. I hear it's even went worldwide. It's support worldwide because I'm not a criminal. I'm just an American citizen that loves. I like to be free. My family came here from the Carolinas across the river in a houseboat or flat-bottom boat. And we've lived in this country for a long time. Back in the 1800s, we come into here. We want to be free, and we will be free. So if you want to be free, you must look at the recipe of the Constitution and see what it says to uphold freedom. You're not going to be free when someone takes away your arms.
Speaking of freedom and being able to do things or not do things, as I understand it, your lawyers were told by the judges in charge of this case that they could not argue the Constitution in a federal courtroom concerning your case. Is that correct?
Well, I believe that's what they told them. They were trying to use case law to settle this, I believe Hale, and which basically just gives you no opportunity to have a trial whatsoever. The judge told the jury over and over and over, you must convict, you must convict. So there was no trial, as we know a trial. It was just basically a hearing of the case. The prosecution objected to almost everything my attorney said, and the judge ordered the jury to convict, and they did hang up on the shotgun. There were three of them that didn't want to convict, but they sent them back in, and they finally did. I noticed one woman looking so sad and disoriented, she wouldn't even look up in the jury pool there. I believe the woman went against her conscience, against what she knew was right. We are our brother's keeper, and if you ever serve on a jury, do what's right. That's the only purpose you have of being there.
Perhaps it would be helpful for people to learn more about jury nullification. In one of our Talking to America segments, we do have an interview with the folks from the FIJA group.
That's one of the least expensive or least painful services we can ever do, is to serve on a jury. I never have. I was called once, but I was on a truck, and I never did get a second call. But this is where America is preserved a lot, is on a jury level. If you go there and it doesn't smell good to you, acquit the person, even if you're the only one, because that's what the jury's duty is to do. Don't let someone take over your office of that judge. You are one of the judges, and you can strike down any law, at least as far as that goes, if you feel in your heart it's wrong or it's not having the desired effect. And that's the duty of the jury, to acquit if they feel like an injustice is being done.
Well, okay, so you're going to go to prison on Tuesday, and what is going to happen next? In other words, you're going to, the defense will continue?
Yes.
The appeal?
Yes. Quentin Rhodes out of Montana lawyers, is going to be one of the prime attorneys, and it's already being appealed to St. Louis in the 8th District. So all of a sudden, if I get an appeal, I will come out, and I suppose they'll try it again. If not, I've got to finish a 6.5-year prison sentence. So I ask people to pray for me. I'm not running scared. I'm not ashamed of what I've done. I'm not afraid of whatever down the line. I feel peace in my heart with my God and my fellow man up here. They all, they pulling for us, and but just keep on keeping on. America's not going to go away about this.
Sounds like your dog agrees with
yes,
you.
Yes, my little doggy.
Well, we're getting towards the end of the program. Is there anything else you'd like to bring up that I've not touched on?
Well, all I can tell the American people, our country was bought at a great price. And if we all put in just a little bit, if we wouldn't allow our politicians to tell us what our laws mean, if we would study to show ourselves approved and know what our laws say and stand on that and elect people to office, form your militia, train yourself with arms, train your young people with arms, understand what this is all about, that would be a great help right off the bat. Serve on juries. You know, make sure that you have arms and ammunition. If a disaster ever comes to America, it can be a huge one, and it can be quick. You may not have time to go to the range or go to your local sporting goods and store and stock up. A country the size of ours, with the power and the power of our enemies, things can change in a moment. So don't be caught unaware like they were at Katrina. Know what to do. Be ready to survive. Uphold the laws, the true laws.
That's great. Let me just go through one more thing. And the contact information for the website for the Arkansas Militia is?
Well, it's ArkansasMilitia.com, and I believe you can get hold of us through that.
And I assume they'll be able to keep people informed as to how your appeal is progressing?
Yes. Most of the transcripts of the case are already on there. There's a document called the Silver Bullet, which we went into great detail to show that this has created a monopoly in these kinds of arms. These arms that are supposed to have no military utility are being produced every day of the year. All this did was create a monopoly, which is unlawful. It comes now that the standard U.S. Army rifle, AR-16, is prohibited to the citizens. On the tangent they took off on, that these kind of arms were contraband and had no military usefulness, so they could regulate them as contraband and similar to the Harrison Narcotic Act. It's finally come a full circle, and they're facing the bad law that they've created back there. If people would just educate themselves, read our Silver Bullet document on the Arkansas Militia website, and you'll learn a lot real quick. But if you don't know your property line, somebody else will move the fences on you. And these people are doing it every day.
That's a great way to wrap it up. Wayne, I want to thank you very much for being with us today on Talking to America.
Thank you, Aaron.
And I wish you the very best, and let's stay in touch.
We'll do that.
Okay, this has been Talking to America. I've been your host, Aaron Zellman. Our guest today has been Hollis Wayne Fincher. And I'd like to remind you, if you don't defend your rights, don't complain when you lose them.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of JPFO.org or its members. Talkin' to America is a production of JPFO.org.